And if you're just joining us, this is Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. 40 years ago today, history was made at Carnegie Hall. On May 6, 1972, comedian Groucho Marx, at the age of 81, made his debut at that famous hall. The house was packed and tickets sold out almost as soon as the show was announced. Groucho had been out of the spotlight for many years. He decided, though, to do a limited tour of his one-man show. And the Carnegie Hall show became one of the most important on that tour because it was also the first and only time that Groucho played Carnegie Hall. Now, another legend, talk show host Dick Cavett, was one of Groucho Marx's friends, and he introduced Groucho that night. Cavett was nervous before the show began. He was worried that Groucho was too old and frail to perform. And despite the ticket sales, he also worried that maybe nobody would show up. But then, just as he was pulling up to Carnegie Hall, Dick Cavett saw a big mob full of young people
carrying Groucho photos. At least a dozen were made up and costumed fully as Groucho Marx. It promised to be a wonderful evening. That promise was reduced slightly when I went backstage, went up to the dressing room, and Groucho looked like a half-dead man. And I thought, how in hell are we going to get through this? I just thought, this is going to be a theatrical nightmare. It wasn't. I skipped up the stairs from a seat near the front before the show began and found myself in front of the gigantic proscenium and beautiful curtain at Carnegie Hall and surveyed the audience, and they knew me at that point, and I got a huge ovation that startled me somewhat.
Thank you. It's nice to be wanted. I must tell you, for the people in the back, it's Dick Cavett up here.
And then I did my introduction.
I can't believe that I'm here tonight. It's not Carnegie Hall that gets to me, but I can't believe that I know Groucho Marx and that he asked me to introduce him tonight, and I'll do that as quickly as possible.
I was surprised how long my introduction was. I had told about meeting Groucho, the strangeness of meeting him right after the funeral of his god and hero in the world, the great George S. Kaufman, how we walked down Fifth Avenue together, how I had said to him wittily, "Groucho, I'm your biggest fan." Those were my first words to him. And he said, "Well, if it gets any hotter, I could use a big fan." And from that point, we were off and running for years.
The only sad thing about Groucho's life is that there are so many thousands of funny things that have gone unrecorded. Luckily, there was someone along at the anti-Semitic country club when they told him he couldn't use the pool. And he asked, "Since my daughter's only half Jewish, could she go in up to her knees?"
At the end of the introduction, I said, "There's several other people backstage, of course. Captain Jeffrey Spaulding, there's Rufus Firefly." And at each name of a Groucho character from a movie, the audience burst into applause. I finally had to say, "Save your applause to the end."
J. Cheever Loophole, so hold the applause till the end, please. Dr. Hugo Z. Hackenbush, Otis B. Driftwood, and Captain Jeffrey Spaulding, the one, the only, Groucho.
The place went wild. Groucho stepped out through the join in the curtain and shuffled out a bit.
"First, I would like to take a bow for Harpo and Chico."
But that audience saw nothing wrong with him. They seemed to see no difference between the old and tired gentleman on the stage who read his evening off 3x5 cards, which I thought might even turn off that audience. They ate it up. He seemed no different than the cavorting madman on the screen in the Marx Brothers movies.
"Hello, I must be going. I cannot stay. I came to say I must be going. I'm glad I came, but just the same, I must be going.
For my sake, you must stay. For if you go away, you'll spoil this party. I am ruined.
I'll stay a week or two. I'll stay the summer through. But I am telling you, I must be going."
It was a triumphant evening, as it turned out.
What do you remember that he said that night on stage that had the audience in stitches?
I remember he talked about his parents and the family, and he gave the accurate versions of things that other people had written about.
Chico got a job at Clauber Horn and Company, and Chico never brought home a salary because he was always in the ballroom or he was someplace, and he never brought a salary. And my father told him, he says, next week, if you come home without your salary, I'll kill you. They had a very close relationship.
I can't come up with a specific thing he said because it all blends in with the six or seven or eight times I had him on the show and the times I went to movies with him and went to dinner with him. And one night at dinner, the guy comes over to the table with his wife and says, Groucho, say something insulting to my wife. And Groucho looked and said, well, with a wife like that, you should be able to think of your own insults, eh? And, of course, they laughed heartily, and that depressed him. Afterwards, he said, you know, they should have told me to go to hell, but, you know, I can't insult anybody anymore. I say the vilest things to people, and they say, oh, Groucho, and they giggle.
this was quite possibly your biggest hero. I mean, he was the guy for you. Why?
I guess you could say that, yeah. As George Kaufman was to him, Groucho was to me. I guess the most touching thing about me and Groucho happened only about 3 years ago. In a letter from his daughter, Miriam, and as I was reading this handwritten letter from her, my eyes suddenly dropped down eight lines to the line, my father thought the world of you. And I'm moved now. Whenever I think of that, it gets to me. That's all I need.
He died 5 years later, 1977.
Yeah.
Did you see him quite a bit or intermittently after that, or what?
I saw him intermittently, not enough. I knew he was ill. Every time I left Groucho, every time he came to New York to be on my show, and I would say goodbye to him there or at the Sherry Netherland, where he liked to stay when the hotel door would shut on his beaming face. I would think, damn, this is the last time I'm going to see him. And eventually it was.
And I would start walking off the stage. And the last line would be, so be a real life Pagliacci and laugh, clown.
That's Groucho Marx performing at Carnegie Hall 40 years ago today. We spoke with legendary talk show host Dick Cavett about that night.
What can I end with? A favorite Groucho line. He didn't get along with a director named Sam Wood. Groucho files will know which movie he directed. At one point, Wood disparagingly said about Groucho to him, you can't make an actor out of clay. And Groucho said, nor a director out of wood. May flights of angels have sung him to his rest.
And for Sunday, that's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. We say goodbye tonight to our intern, Lauren Benishu. She heads back to Berkeley, California. Listen for her on your radio someday. And don't forget to download our podcast, The Best Of. It's called Weekends on All Things Considered. Find it on iTunes or at npr.org/weekendatc. We're back on the radio next weekend with more news, personal stories, books, and music. Until then, thanks for listening and have a great week.